Blog Talk Radio.
Why is no one anywhere in the world telling you the truth and telling you to prepare? I will tell you that I had a network, one of the big three, a network official actually tell me in the last 2 years, Glenn, we all know what's coming. And this is a quote, but we have a responsibility not to tell the American people because they'll freak out.
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
I chose my friends carefully. The more politically active black students, the foreign students, the Chicanos, the Marxist professors.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are diehard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers.
That was the voice of Larry Graffwall, former undercover operative, describing the Weather Underground's plans at a national meeting in 1969. Bill Ayers, President Obama's future mentor and ghost autobiographer, attended those discussions as a leader of the Weathermen. Ayers' associates built and detonated murderous terror bombs. Ayers is a self-described lifelong communist revolutionary. Barack Obama began his political life in Bill Ayers' living room. In 1969, Ayers and the Weathermen already planned to exterminate President Obama's so-called bitter clingers, religious gun owners who would resist his vision of social progress. They have been working on this for generations, but they still have one thorny problem to overcome. The Americans are not yet disarmed and helpless.
At the beginning, Hitler didn't look like or talk like a monster at all. He talked like an American politician.
Those men raped that woman in India to death with an iron rod 4 feet long. You can't ban the iron rods. The guns the iron rods pierced didn't do it. The tyrants did it. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand?
Let everyone know that the regulars march for Lexington and Concord.
The British are coming!
The politicians, they all love this.
Pissing off the socialists, defending the republic, and exposing the chicken-necked brown-nosers. All in a single broadcast. You're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its maximum hour of danger. You are that generation. This is your role. Freedom must be defended from the government that wants to take it away from us.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Robert Rule Show. Today is Monday, Black Monday, August 24th, 2015. Jason, every 7 years.
You got it.
Like clockwork.
7 year Shemitah cycle.
It's like clockwork, isn't it?
It is. Think about 7 years ago. Was it 2008, right?
Yep.
I remember
that,
what was going
2001?
On. Yes. And then 1994, 1987. Yep.
That's right. and on and on and on every 7 years, ladies and gentlemen. And you haven't learned by now? Oh, it cracks me up, Jason. I got something for tonight. Speaking of that, you know, you ever feel like you're talking to a wall?
All the time.
Let me show you how the masses are being brainwashed. This is an article from Inc. magazine. You ever read that?
No.
Me neither. Probably dropped my IQ points. Here's the article. It says, everyone wants to be heard. Sometimes it can be hard to get people's attention or get above the noise. There's nothing worse than having a conversation with people and feeling like you were the only person involved. If you often feel like you are talking, I'm going to get to the the brainwashing here in a minute. If you often feel like you're talking to yourself in conversations and meetings, it's possible that you are the problem. And here's where it gets good, Jason. Granted, few people are great listeners, but you might not be giving them a reason to listen, or worse, you might be shutting them down in some manner. Here are the number of communication offenses that make people close their ears and brains in the conversation. They are easy to recognize and remedy. Today is a great day to start. Number one, you're whining. Well, worked for Donald Trump, didn't it?
Sure did.
He goes on to say, I'm not really sure why human beings are capable of whining. It doesn't really serve a useful purpose for the whiner. Really? Wouldn't that be the same thing as like maybe a whistleblower or somebody that's had a problem with, let's say, the courts or the police?
Well, yeah, define whining.
Right. So they're, what they're doing is they're brainwashing the public not to accept someone who comes out and says they were wrong, which essentially what whining is. What do you think?
No, I'm with you. I think, again, that's why you sort of have to operationally define what you mean by whining, because sometimes whining or complaining may have a legitimate backing behind it.
Absolutely.
Don't you think the people in the past, civilizations who were the Indians whining when, you know, they were being slaughtered by the white man? I mean, were they? I would imagine so on some level.
Well, according to this guy, they were whining.
Yeah.
Know, people don't want to hear you whine. Oh, you're being taken to the gas chamber? Stop your whining.
Exactly.
So there goes that one. That's number one. Out the door, I think we can call that brainwashing there, brainwashing the masses. And that's got a picture of a whole bunch of people covering their ears. We don't want to hear you. Heretic. Right?
Yeah.
So, number two, you're thinking or speaking only of yourself. Well, Jason, I mean, did it happen to just you? I mean, would that be speaking only of yourself? Let's read into this a little bit. Communication is an interaction between multiple people, and you are violating rules by being narcissistic and self-absorbed. Make your communication empathetic so you can engage others emotionally. Save your self-interest for your Facebook page. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
why do I need to be empathetic?
Well, I think that's a good trait.
Yeah, but when you're making tough decisions, like let's say politically, you know, you're making law. Do you think I should be empathetic? Do you think I should play into emotions or do the right thing?
No. I think you have to remain a level of objectivity.
Okay. Well, you're the professional here. So
I think when you're talking politics, when you're talking, large-scale decisions, you have to keep the subjectivity in check and remain objective, because a lot of bad decisions have been made, you know, through emotion. Which,
right.
How's that saying go? You know, the road to perdition is paved with good intentions. Well, you know, you could also substitute emotion, and subjectivity can lead to the path of perdition.
Right. Number three, you won't shut up. If you go on in a redundant manner, not only will your audience be bored to death, but they can't engage in your story or anecdote. At some point, they will just tune out, break up your droning, and cut the long-winded speeches. It's kind of a run-on sentence there, but what do you gather from that?
Okay, just what?
I don't like long-winded speeches.
Well, you know, if it's succinct and it's, you know, got important information versus if someone's just rambling on and it's, you know, it's word salad and they're not going anywhere, again, I think you have to think about the content that is being shared and what is the relevance of it. Because if it's long-winded, that could be a very good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I fall asleep if I sit too long. But we'll go with that. Number four, you interrupt. When people are speaking, cutting them off mid-thought will not only distract them, it will likely offend them. Then instead of listening to your new thought, they will be busy thinking about what an insensitive dumbass you are. I inserted that word. Even if you are a fast thinker, you may not actually know what others will say. Take notes with your own thoughts and give others a chance to finish. Now, this one, I tend to agree with. Were you waiting for me?
Yeah, sorry.
You aren't going
to cut listening. I'm just listening here. No, I'm being patient. I think it's good to listen.
Like I gave you two ears and one mouth, right?
You got it.
So what do you think of that one? Interrupting, not a good idea. I agree.
You know, I'm going to admit, I'm bad at that. I'm a talker. I like to talk. I like to get my point across. And sometimes I have to refrain, and that's tough. I think dialogue is a good thing. You know, you don't want just one person making all the points.
Yeah, I don't think that would be good in a debate.
No.
Not to interrupt.
You got to have an equal balance.
Okay, let's see what else we got here. Just had to find out what happened to that. Okay. You begin with, actually, you're wrong. Or you're incorrect. You may as well just put someone in a soundproof booth. When you belittle someone's thoughts or ideas, you kickstart their inner voice. Their brain will now try to figure out how you are wrong and why you're such a mean person. Give their idea consideration and let your position stand on its own merits. I agree with that. Although if somebody's wrong, yeah, tell them they're wrong.
Yeah, but I certainly don't think you want to start off your rebuttal with, oh, you're incorrect, or, you know, you suck, because they're going to just stop listening and, you know, it's going to go nowhere.
Do you care if they listen, though? I guess would be, I guess would come into play there. Number six, you cry wolf. When you call the cavalry out too many times, no one believes a word you're saying at all. All the drama you've created is like a repellent keeping people away. So I guess this would be the tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, the apocalypse didn't happen yet. So you are now, we don't favor you.
Well, that's because people who think apocalypse and they're thinking the end right away. Sometimes the end is a really, really slow death, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, so, that's the frog in the frying pan to beat a dead horse.
That's exactly right.
Because they're doing things incrementally. You get bored with it. Somebody shouts, "Hey, look over here." And you're like, "Yeah, no, not this time, dude. Not buying it because my media outlet just told me that I'm crazy for listening to you because it didn't happen."
Remember what Hitler said, taking people's rights away sort of incrementally in such small portions that they don't even recognize it. Well, it's sort of the same thing that's happening now.
Oh, absolutely.
Imperceptible. Yeah, imperceptible pieces, I think, is what he said.
Ooh, that's nice. I want to steal that. So,
we're witnessing that right now. If people like you and I and people who are awake are recognizing that for what it is, but to the majority of society, you know, they're so distracted by all this nonsense that they really can't put the pieces together adequately.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I actually heard somebody talk about it. I was thinking, you know, all these people that I see on the street, I'm driving into work. I'm doing a fairly decent rate of speed. And these people are in the fast lane, and I'm like, why are they over here constantly, every single day? I'm trying to drive to work. You stay the hell out of the fast lane, man. What are you even doing over here? You know, they're too dumb to know any better. And then you just wonder about people all around you. And I don't know if this makes me sound self-absorbed or whatever, but you see the masses watching these television shows and flocking to one thing or the other, and you're thinking, is that reality, Jason?
Well, reality
that's
is their
reality.
Well, yeah, I mean, I what I notice, and I think this is along the lines of what you're saying, is, you know, my observations are people are so plugged into their little mobile devices that they really have no clue. It seems to me they have zero understanding of anything outside that little bubble because they are just so plugged into something. So I kind of see that same thing, and they've created this sort of pseudo-reality. And that, again, that's why when people like you or I mention some things that are happening, you know, they look at you cross-eyed. Because they just...
What
do you know what I mean? What's that?
I said, what did he just say?
They look at you cross-eyed.
No, but I'm being the peasant.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they look at you like, huh? You know, you get that Scooby-Doo look. Reality anymore seems very subjective, and I there was a meme I posted several days ago. I loved it. Said, you know, our society has become so fake that the truth actually bothers people. And isn't that accurate?
Absolutely.
You know? And I think, to me, that's what I notice.
I don't know what it is, Jason. Maybe there's something wrong with me because I feel like I am above the peasants. And I shouldn't feel like that.
No, I think we got to be humble. I do. I think it's good to be humble. I'm not above anybody. I'm an average guy that's just trying to live his life. The only difference
is... What does it mean, you think, to feel that way, though?
What do you mean?
I'm going to have you analyze me on the radio. What do you think it means to feel that way? Sometimes I sit there and I think, this is what Einstein felt like.
Well, yeah, I mean, people, you know, and this is proven, people who tend to see things for what they are, those are people that have a harder time in life, okay? They have, I think, a harder time relating to others. They tend to be more prone to depression, but they also tend to be a little more intellectually with it. So it could be you're just experiencing what we call cognitive dissonance with people around you because, you know, maybe you perceive things that escape the majority. And so you kind of feel like, you know, elevated. Now, you know, I would caution you with that. I would caution anybody. I think it pays to be humble, you know, and to not get haughty, because I think every one of us has so much more to learn. I mean, what I know in life is just, you know, grains of sand in a really, really large, long beach.
Right. Well, you know, the wisest man in the world knows he doesn't know everything. I constantly tell my kids that because they're always saying, they ask me these questions sometimes that I don't know the answers to, and I say, I have no idea what that is. And my son will look at me and say, but Dad, you know everything. And that's why I tell him, the wisest man knows he doesn't know everything, but I can't help but feel like that. Everybody comes to me, you know, for the answers. I don't have all of them.
I experience the same thing in my job. People say, go to Hedges, you know, go see him.
Right.
So, and it's sometimes like, well, wait a minute here, you know, in a way it's flattering, but sometimes it's like, what, wait a minute, folks, you know, just think through it, you know, but again, I like what you said. I think the wisest man knows he doesn't know everything, and that is so true. That is absolutely the truth. And, you know, because I don't know everything, I question everything.
But, you know, I'd like to, and the whole reason for starting this show is so that people will come up to my level so that I won't be alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to talk to all of those people driving slow in the fast lane and explain to them why it's a bad idea to be in that lane and not go 80. Because, and here's why, people, for those out there listening who think you know everything, but you really don't. When you're driving slow in that lane, some crazy guy, see, like me, I'm the smart guy doing 80 in the fast lane, okay? If I see a guy flying up on my butt, I get over and let him go through. Right?
Yeah.
Now, if you're going slow in the fast lane and I'm behind you, now I can't get over because there's nowhere to get over because all the lanes are full. And this guy comes flying up. He's changing lanes. He's switching around here and there. People are cutting over, slamming on their brakes. That even causes traffic jams. If you look on 271, coming home near Brainerd, Cedar, Mayfield, all three lanes are stopped. Why? Because you have people that are in the lane they're supposed to be in the right lane to get off on the off ramp. Then you got the people in the center lane going faster so that they can cut in front of the people that are in that lane, right? And then you have people in the fast lane who are driving slow, and you're causing traffic jams.
You know, is that a function of people? Is that a function of people just not really thinking through?
They don't care. And there's nothing worse than an idiot with a license, and we are
infested with them.
Yes. Yeah. The standards of cognition in America seem to have really plummeted over the last several decades.
Yes, they have. All right. Should we continue with this article?
It's up to you.
I think it's interesting. Okay. Number seven. You don't care about what you're saying. People can tell when you are this passionate about your ideas and thoughts. If you don't feel excited and energetic about what you're communicating, what's the point in saying it? Now, this I disagree with. Save your talking for the times when you have conviction. Well, I always have conviction, Jason. And sometimes I don't feel like talking about the news. Sorry, not into it. So
I just like to have conversation. I like to have stimulating conversation about real issues. I don't care who it's with. I mean, preferably somebody who understands what the hell I'm talking about.
What about Kate? You don't care about Kate?
About what?
Kate.
Oh, Caitlyn Jenner?
Yeah, Kate.
No, I don't care about that. That is nonsense. It's nonsense. You know, I mean, I like to talk about things that matter, you know, things that are happening, you know, and I'll tell you what, man, that's like finding a needle in a haystack anymore, is trying to find someone who's enlightened about these things. And, you know, when I find someone who understands these things, I almost fall over, you know. It's like finding a damn leprechaun, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I like to talk, man. I love conversation.
So the other day, we and I'm going off subject just for a minute because I'll forget. I read an interview with a Satanist who said he was a high wizard and that he would go to abortion clinics and perform rituals and kill, you know, the fetuses. And then it came out today, and we'll talk about it, an article with Satanists. So I posted this interview online. Now, I heard a couple things from a couple different people. A friend of mine, who I can only assume is a quote-unquote Satanist, said that, let me read to you what he said.
Is this someone I know?
Oh, yeah. He said, are these people actually Satanists, or are they being mislabeled? Because Satanists are atheists that don't follow old biblical rituals. So my question there is, if they're atheists and not Satanists, well, why don't they just call themselves atheists? Why are they calling themselves Satanists? See the play on words there?
Well, yeah. I mean, please. Okay. Anton LaVey, all right, the granddaddy of the Church of Satan, okay? I think that you would agree that he was a Satanist, right?
Absolutely.
I'm not buying that crap. Atheists don't believe in anything. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Lucifer. Satanists, I don't care what they say, they believe, they worship Satan. Okay, so,
right.
And if don't tell me they don't, because then why are they wearing pentagrams? Why are they wearing more or less paraphernalia that is of a satanic, you know, fallen angel significance? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's someone who, I question whether they even understand what they believe or don't believe.
So I asked him some questions. I said, well, what about the high wizard? Who is a Satanist, calls himself a Satanist. Is he fake? Is he not telling the truth? What about the statue that the Satanists just erected in Detroit of Lucifer? So his answer is this. There is no quote-unquote high wizard in Satanism.
Satanists chose Satan as his primary symbol because it's, in Hebrew, it means adversary, opposer, one to accuse or question. Satanists see themselves as adversaries, opposers, and accusers of all spiritual belief systems. They don't have a deity based on that. That sounds to me like some New Age bullshit.
It is. It is. And you know what?
To cover,
you know,
up
don't tell me you're a Satanist. Don't tell me you're a Satanist, but you deny, you know, deny that. I mean, come on. And here's the thing I laugh at. These people who hail, oh, you know, we're Satanists. It's like, you idiots, you understand that Satan hates you too, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it's almost like they believe that when they die, you know, they're going to kind of cozy up to Satan. They're going to be, you know, on his right side. It's like, you people are idiots. And
you
know,
I'm going to start calling myself a Democrat. And then I'm going to tell them, no, you don't understand. We don't believe in socialism. We believe in conservatism. How do you think that would go over?
Oh, I think these yeah.
These friggin' people are playing on words. They're changing definitions almost overnight.
Well, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Let's think about that. Hasn't that been the culture of America for the last how many years? Remember, what's the definition of is? You know what I'm talking about?
Who is?
Okay. So you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. But our politicians have been playing that game for a long time. And so we're seeing it now play out in our society. And I know what you're talking about. I read that thread tonight, by the way. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm sorry. You know, I shouldn't be so judgmental, but go ahead.
This person in particular always has wise things to say. I will say that much. He is a wise person, but I think he doesn't. I don't think he recalls. I had some friends who were really into Satanism and got put in mental institutions because of it. And what it meant then, obviously, they changed the meaning for whatever purpose, I don't know, but they hijacked the word, pretty much.
Well, you know why? It lightens it up.
Right.
It lightens
it up.
Go
ahead.
Well, it makes the idea of Satanism not seem so heavy. Or
right.
It takes the way it provides an opportunity to take what's the word I'm looking for? The stigma away. You know, it's like Satanism light. You know, that's what it's like.
But I used to beat up Satan worshippers.
You know, I'm very much, and I'm going to put this out there, I am pretty staunch Christian, and I have become so even more over the last 11 years since I've woken up to a lot of things. And the person you mentioned, you called him wise, and I, you know, he's a nice guy. I don't know that I would say he's wise. I think he's intelligent. But for me, wisdom is the application, the deeper application of intelligence. And to me, if you deny the existence of a divine creator, to me, that is not wisdom. And I have a saying, if you want proof of God or Jesus, look out your window. If you want proof of Lucifer or Satan, watch the news. And, you know, some people will argue with me, oh, you know, you pray to the sky fairy. Well, God doesn't live in the sky, and the Lucifer doesn't live in the ground. It's a spiritual realm which we cannot see. It's another dimension that we have no immediate access to. And while you cannot prove it exists, you certainly can't prove it doesn't. But I think there's more than ample evidence of a divine creator when you look around the world. And likewise, there's evidence of a very evil presence in this world. And you don't have to look far to see it. I don't know why that's so difficult for people to understand.
Yeah. I think this is a good time to go to break.
All right.
We're getting deep here. Some people are like, sorry. What the hell are these guys talking about? That's all right. We're good. All right, we'll be back.
Obamacare. Fun. Cool. YOLO. At Obamacare, we believe in saying the words affordable health care so that young people will love us and sign up like lemmings. Sure, you pay 2.5% of your income in penalties, but young people don't have to worry about that because you don't have a job. Work sucks. That's why we at Obamacare want to trade your full-time job for a part-time one. So you'll have more time for fun things, like watching millionaire celebrities tweet about how affordable we are. Obamacare. Just like guys enjoy premium leather seats, so too you'll enjoy paying triple the healthcare premiums out of your new part-time salary. Speaking of guys, ever been on a mandate before? At Obamacare, we're full of mandates. But don't worry, big corporations get exempt, so you don't have to. It's fun paying for things you don't even use. Yeah, you work out, stay healthy. But come on, brah. Someone's got to pay for people who smoke, drink 85-ounce sodas, and live in a Barca lounger. So enjoy your premium hikes, young people of America, because everyone loves hikes. Obamacare. If millionaire celebrities can afford us, why can't you? A message from the White House Office of Obamacare. Propaganda to get young people to love us and sign up like lemmings.
And on the ninth day, God spilled some coffee on an angry possum and God made a liberal. God said, I need someone willing to get up at the crack of noon and check their Facebook and tweet vile things, take a nap, borrow money from their parents, and stay out all night drinking Pabst ironically and snorting bath salts and whine until midnight. So God made a liberal. He said, I need a person that can take a thriving community and turn it into a debt-ridden post-apocalyptic welfare state. I need someone who thinks meat is murder, produce is raised in grocery aisles, who can't fix a flat tire or change your own oil, and who, when forced to finally get a job as a barista, makes you wait for your latte while they play Angry Birds on their iPhone and then takes his union-mandated two-hour break. So God made a liberal. God said, I need somebody dumb enough to believe in global warming and deficit spending, yet arrogant enough to look down at hard-working folk because they don't have a worthless PhD in 17th-century Belgian lesbian studies. It had to be someone that would tax and spend, sue and attack, flip and flop, legislate from the bench and pass an unread bill, a person that would take a story of American success and turn it into a lesson of injustice. So God made a liberal. It had to be someone who'd lie to themselves and others and envy the successful. Someone to whine, cry, demand, screech, and scream sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, bigot. It had to be someone that at the end of the day they could go home after helping rip apart a country with divisive race and class war, and who would laugh and then sigh with mocking eyes, thinking, if I hadn't aborted all my children, they'd probably say they want to spend their life doing what Dad does. So God made a liberal.
And do you think that you can act without Congress to initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
You know, again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval, and they will come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
No, well,
I want to just say to you, that's a big dish. Wouldn't you agree? You've served in the Congress.
Yeah.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
I
find your lack of faith disturbing.
Broadcasting live from FEMA Region 5, you're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Teleprompter free. Jason, I want to get to this news because this is important. Great Fall of China is one of the headlines. Black Monday risks a new financial crisis, like we talked about earlier, every 7 years. World indexes, Evans Pritchard, market Leninism turns dangerous. Beijing censoring financial chaos on the web, which is nothing new. Ghost towns point to nations' waning fortunes. Crash panic wallop, Dow sees 1,000 point drop at the opening. As a matter of fact, Rule 48 came into play. Was it this morning? I think it was this morning.
Oh, was that when they halted?
Well, yeah, they halted it. Rule 48 allows designated market makers on the NYSE, or New York Stock Exchange, to refrain from disseminating price indications ahead of the opening bell. The procedure makes it easier and faster to open stocks on days when trading perilous. The so-called flash crash of 2010 prompted a Rule 48 switch from the Dow to the S&P 500. It was set up for situations like this, said Art Hogan, chief market strategist. Now, we know about the plunge protection team set up by Clinton in the 90s. Which is a fail-safe, so the market can't crash. So everybody that says the market's going to crash, it's not going to crash in that sense. It can't.
Well, it's going to be artificially propped up, though.
Correct. And no one will be the wiser. But when you start seeing 888 points, which it always is, did you ever notice that, too? 888?
I don't know about that, but I can tell you right now, I'm looking at a picture of a television screen, and this came to me today. The Dow was down 666.44, and then another time 666.10. That's a little ominous.
I didn't see that one. I know,
yeah,
it's always, I know they always play the eights, but I never heard of the sixes.
No, I'm looking at one from CNN Money, and it's at 3:30 p.m. And then there's another one. Thought it was interesting.
I'm going to play a video, not a video, an audio clip, tomorrow evening of a few experts who predicted it. Now, you and I, we keep up with the news. We knew it was going to happen. It's inevitable. The bubble is going to burst. We knew it couldn't last. We knew back in 2008 when we had the big bailout, we knew that all they were doing with the QE 1, 2, and 3, and 4, they were just propping up the inevitable. And I got a feeling, you know, they're not going to have a choice now but to go to war. And it can't be just any war. It's got to be a major war. And Iran would be a semi-major war. But they really, in order to make some money, some real money,
they'd have to go to war with either China or Russia, one of the big boys. And
well,
I don't really see that happening. Go ahead.
Well, that's what our America, that's what Washington does in times like these. You know, we have this very volatile scenario going on, not only in America, but around the world with the economies. So what America will do to cover things or paper things over a little bit is to print more money and then to start another war or get engaged in another war. And that seems to be a pattern with our government in times like these. So that's not surprising.
Well, we know two things for sure. One, money isn't backed by anything anymore.
No. And that
all
anybody
has is our word at best.
Yeah, because Nixon took us off the gold standard in the early 70s. But even before that, yeah, and before that, you know, we were on, I think it was backed in silver. And then, of course, in 1913, Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve. I mean, this goes back almost 100 years. I mean, what we're seeing is not just the, you know, result of, you know, 2008. I mean, that was certainly part of it. But this is has been a long-term plan. And we're just seeing it itself now.
It's Keynesian economics.
Yes.
And it can't last. Keynesian economics is only predicted to last, 60 years?
Fiat currencies, which is what the dollar is, it's a fake, backed in nothing currency, are estimated to last only 40 years. Well, Nixon took us off the gold standard around 40 years ago. So here we are, 40 years, over 40 years later.
So let's talk about this. You and I, two normal people, we're not running the country. But these people up at the top, they're crazy. They're nuts. They're drunk with money and power. And if the only way to cover this all up is to go to war with a major country, they're crazy enough to do it.
Well, and they'll blame other countries for America's economic decline. They'll blame China because China devalued their currency a few times last week, over the last several weeks. And so the federal government will find another nation to pin this on and find a justification to go to war while at the same time print more useless money. Basically kicking the can down the proverbial street. So, you know, and especially if there's any kind of terror attack to accommodate what's going on in America, that'd be a perfect opportunity because it'll take people's attention off what's happening with the economy. It's all manipulation.
Well, crude oil right now as it stands as of early this morning was $45 a barrel.
What are we paying? Almost 240. What is it? I don't know. 220, 240 or something right now.
Well, check this out. When gas prices fall, it's an indication that the dollar is strong. When gas prices go up, it's an indication that the dollar is weak. So that's why, you know, after Bush left office, gas prices started going up and up and up and up and up because we were printing money. But now, crude oil, $45 a barrel. Your gas price at the pump should actually be 80 cents to a dollar. So you have to ask, why did the price of gas go up almost a dollar in a week? And that's what we need experts, Jason. We need experts on this show. I'm not an expert. I watch closely, but I don't have all the answers. I don't have a master's from Harvard in all that stuff. I'm trying to get people who could devote their time to getting us some good guests on the show. around election time, we can get the local politicians on the show. But I need experts. Like right now, the financial crisis, I need an expert I can trust. I don't want somebody that's written a couple books and throws up a couple YouTube videos. I want someone who has actually predicted this stuff.
Well, then
that's the guy I want.
Yeah, either Gerald Celente or Peter Schiff, and I don't think we're going to get them on the show.
Or what's his name? Harry Dent. Is it Harry Dent? No.
I don't know him.
What is his name? Harry Dent. Yeah, Harry Dent. I want Harry Dent on the show. Make it happen, Jason.
Oh, all right. I'll just make some I'll make some calls.
That's who we need to get on the show. But you know what? There's one step down from having him on the show. I'm going to play the clip tomorrow. How about that? I'll throw it together.
That sounds good.
I'm off tomorrow. I'll throw it together. We'll play it tomorrow. Tomorrow evening will be a good show.
You know
so
what?
So what else is... Go ahead.
Well, no, I just wanted to throw this out here. You know, we've heard about China. We've heard about America. But what I didn't hear, I caught this really early this morning, is that Middle Eastern nations, their economies are also have tanked.
Saudi Arabia, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and Qatar.
I mean, and then I thought I heard something about Brazil as well today. So, you know, people need to understand that this isn't just, you know, the mainstream media is saying this is some sort of correction in the, you know, the New York Stock Exchange. I'm not an economist.
Yeah.
I started off as a business major in college, but I changed to psychology. Business wasn't my thing. But, you know, I don't know. Something just doesn't sit well with
all this. Let me explain to the audience what a correction looks like. You take the five biggest players sitting down at a card table. All that money in the middle of the table is your money, but only these five people get to divvy it up. So one guy takes a handful, the other guy takes a handful, another guy takes a handful, until it's all gone. That's what a correction really looks like. They're taking the money. And here you're thinking, well, the market's crashing. How can that be? Because they're taking your money. This money doesn't really exist.
So a correction is just a non-threatening, fluffy-feeling word to mask something quasi, you know, slimy.
Right.
Okay, got it.
That's what a correction is, because think about it. If you didn't have criminals and crooks in charge, the value of our dollar would be up 300%. You would be paying probably half of what you're paying on your mortgage, half of what you're paying on a car payment. Your credit would be great. You'd have your job for 20 years. You'd have a pension. You'd be retiring at age 55 rather than, what is it up to now, 70?
65.
Think about if you didn't have criminals in charge. Go ahead.
No, you're right. That's exactly, and it's funny you say that, because I posted that on a Yahoo article earlier today, is that that's the problem. We have absolute criminals controlling the world purse strings, you know, and you're absolutely right.
Right. Donald Trump brought up the other day what I brought up on the show, and that's tariffs. You know, charging companies to sell their goods here. What's wrong with that? That protects the American worker, protects American companies. But no, somebody mentioned the WTO, the World Trade Organization. Started by who, Jason?
Let me guess. Kissinger and Rockefeller?
There you go. Say no more.
Well,
and so they say, well, we can't have tariffs because of the World Trade Organization. The hell we can.
Who tells America what to do? Nobody, right? That's the way it should be.
Well, yeah. But
these criminals, they went out into the world, and they made deals with all the world leaders. You remember the guy, who was the French guy, leader of France, I think it was, maybe, I'd have to go back and look this up.
How long
ago? He said, yeah, I was pulled into a room and said that I was going to be the guy. And I just had to do what they tell me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how it works.
Well, and, when people deny the existence of an emerging global government, and they deny it, and they write it off as some conspiracy nonsense, it's like, are you serious? And we've got the World Trade Organization, the World Health Organization, the World Bank. Come on. You know, it's obvious. And all this economic manipulation is tearing down the old so that they can usher in the new. That's what this is about. That's what I feel it's about. And ultimately control of every single person's financial transactions. In resource management, that's the other thing this is about. Because these psychopathic elite, they hate the middle class because in their eyes, the middle class are using their non-renewable resources. So they have to make it so difficult for the middle class to survive and thrive so that we're not using all their precious resources. That's why they want an ultra-poor and the very few elect.
I would agree. So now you know what a correction is. It's your money going into somebody else's hands. And look at the media. Look at all the media before the 2008 crash. We were telling people in 2005, start putting your money away. I bought a bank-owned home, started sacking my money away. I worked in healthcare. So I thought that my job would be pretty safe, but I wanted to make sure that I can make a living making $7 an hour at McDonald's if I had to. So that's what I did. And people didn't believe me. Oh, no, that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And then it happened. And then it was a lot worse than even I thought. And, guys, girls, if you're listening out there, you might want to put something away. You might want to keep some cash on hand. You might want to buy the gold when it's low. It's because gold is going down in price right now. The best time to buy is what, Jason?
Best time to buy gold?
Best time to buy anything
is when it's
when
cheap.
It's low. That's right. People in Cleveland can rest easy right now. They won't be losing their spigots because the price of copper has gone down dramatically. So
yeah,
all these things, everything's going down.
Yeah, it's supply and demand.
So John Boehner was in the news. Remember that whole Planned Parenthood thing?
Oh, yeah. I've been following that, yes.
So John Boehner's aide, Charlotte Ivancic, the older sister of Kate Dyer, who runs the biotech company Stem Express, and who discussed and laughed about shipping intact aborted baby parts in an undercover video released on Friday, is leaving her position as health policy advisor to Speaker John Boehner to go to work for the lobbying firm Tarplin, Downs, and Young. The resignation of Ivancic, who worked for Boehner and as legal counsel to the House Budget Committee, was announced on August 5th, as reported in The Hill. In late July, Stem Express and its founder and CEO, Kate Dyer, were mentioned in undercover videos of Planned Parenthood's harvesting
of aborted baby parts by the Center for Medical Progress pro-life organization. STEM Express obtained a temporary restraining order on the July 28th against the release of any further investigative videos. And Jason, I can't even believe the judge gave them that order.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you allow the videos to be seen?
Because we always talk, the truth is the enemy. That's why.
So all these people go and work for lobbying firms. And that's the revolving door that nobody talks about. Your sitting congressman or your sitting senator, when they make these votes that you don't like, they're doing it for a reason. And it doesn't involve the Constitution. It doesn't involve you. You, like a dumbass, go to the voting booth and you vote for these guys.
Yeah.
When really, the only thing they're working towards is a lobbyist position where they can make a couple million dollars a year.
Yeah, that's it. It's a money-grabbing opportunity, that's all.
But they're not stupid, and people keep saying, and they keep banging that drum saying, oh, these guys are stupid. Oh, they're stupid. They're not stupid. They get it all playing out. You're the stupid one when you go to the voting booth and you vote for them.
Yep.
And now you got Republicans are getting out. They're out of control. They hate the fact that Donald Trump is running. And now me personally, I don't care about president. I don't care who's running for president. I'm not going to be voting for that person. My vote doesn't count. And I can hear people out there right now, oh, yeah, your vote does count, man. Your vote counts. Not in a presidential election. When will you people learn? It doesn't matter. But Republicans are pissed because Donald Trump has thousands of people, 50,000 people showing up to a stadium to see him. And they're pissed because they're losing all of that voter capital. So what they're doing now, you had one of the head guys of the GOP, an advisor, saying we ought to get close to him like Caesar did and put a shiv in his side. I'm going to play the audio tomorrow night. I didn't have a chance to get it tonight. And then you got people like Real Clear Politics, who we know is a establishment publication, coming out against Trump. And I'd like to read a little bit from that, Jason.
Go ahead.
Why am I getting into this? Because it's the topic. That's what everybody's talking about. I'm trying to kind of, how can I say this? I'm trying to blend in a little bit with the peasants. Well, whatever the peasants are talking about, I want to talk about it too. I'm joking.
Have at it.
But all right. So let me find this article real quick. Here it is. So they're saying Trump is no Reagan. And this is from Real Clear Politics, the GOP publication, establishment publication. Donald Trump's attempts to burnish his conservative credentials by comparing himself to Ronald Reagan are wildly unconvincing. In his recent Meet the Press interview, Trump argued that his metamorphosis from left to right was akin to Reagan's. He added that the late president was somebody that I actually knew and liked, and he liked me, and I worked with him and helped him. Combined, we had the privilege of working very close with Ronald Reagan over a five-decade period, and we must have missed the occasion when Donald Trump worked with the president and overlooked the Gipper's expressions of affection for him. So, they're all trying to throw Trump under the bus because they already had their boy picked out. That was Jeb Bush. I mean, it still could happen. But somebody has come out the other day and pointed out the fact that both parties get public money during election time. And if they get public money, well, then they have no say. And it's a big legal thing to try to keep Trump out of the debates. Who's right, who's wrong, I don't know. All I know is they're gunning for Trump. They're gunning for the Tea Party. You know, those two state representatives that were fooling around and tried to make up some story that the guy was soliciting a male prostitute and everything to hide that story from his wife, which I thought was kind of funny, because what better way to keep a fling from your wife than saying you're fooling around with a male prostitute? Which one do you think she would like better, Jason?
I don't know how well that would go either way. I don't know.
I don't know. But I heard a guy talking on the radio today saying, and we know, excuse me, I almost had the hiccups there. Okay. So we know they're trying to demonize the Tea Party already. And so they're coming out on national radio and national TV saying that these two were Tea Party people and that their actions weren't godly and all of this, and saying they ran on a, you get the picture, right?
Yes.
I don't have to go into that, right? They're demonizing the Tea Party. Anyone affiliated with the Tea Party, anyone who believes in the Constitution and the rule of law, the Republican establishment is going after. And that should kind of lift people's antennas and say, you know, why are they doing that? Why are they trying to destroy from within our party? Because think about this for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. And Jason, I know you're not affiliated with the Republicans. Jason is an independent, for those of you that don't know.
Yeah, I don't follow. But, yeah.
But the Tea Party people, they're as much a part of this party as anyone else, with the exception of any Democrats. Democrats have their own party. But they are upset. They're fed up with the good old boys club, the fraternity, the frat boys that I can't stand in the party that kiss a lot of ass to get to the top. And then they want to help their buddies. And so they give their buddies a leg up. They have a pecking order. And they want to keep that pecking order. And Jeb Bush was the next in line. It was his turn. And now Trump comes on the scene and they're pissed. That's basically the bottom line of what's going on. And then you have people that are running who are running to knock other people out of the race. And that's essentially your presidential race. That, Jason?
Yeah, but and I don't disagree. I just feel this is, every bit of this is a bunch of, it's all theater, man. It's all a big dog and pony show.
You're talking Wag the Dog, right?
I am, you know, and again, I agree that Trump is saying all the right things, and I agree, but I just, there's something very disingenuous about it all that I just, it leaves me feeling very cold. So again, I'm not jumping on the train. I'm glad other people feel that there's, you know, maybe some hope there, but I'm just not.
So what you think essentially is that, what I think is that if they keep banging this drum, then their fake polls are going to show that Trump's dropping in the polls, and sooner or later he's going to have to succumb to old Jeb or possibly run third party and pave the way for like an Elizabeth Warren. And pretty much the establishment, made up of both Democrat and Republican, is hedging their bet with Trump.
Exactly. I think that there is so much more to this behind the scenes than what is being revealed to us. And I'm, you know, Trump is Hollywood. He's a megalomaniac. Yes, he has a lot of money, but I'm sorry. I think at the end of the day, he's all about him. So I think that there is another ulterior motive with all this. I don't know exactly what, but yes. And he's kind of cozy with the Clintons, which makes me feel, you know, a little nervous, a little too cozy for me, for my taste. So, yeah, I think this is nothing more than theatrics.
Well, to the peasants like you and I, we'll never know.
Well, I think we will. We'll know in 2016. We'll know in a little over a year.
Yeah, but how can you prove it? You can't.
You can't. No, we could archive these shows and say, oh, gee, we covered this on this date. Let's play that clip. And then, you know what I mean? That's the only thing you could do.
We can't even get anybody to get guests on.
I know. We can't even get friggin' stuff. I know. Here I'm talking like we've got some posh radio station, all right? I'm just dreaming. But
right.
You know what
we can't afford that. I had several people tell me, hey, I'll do your editing. I'll do your clips so that you could just come out here and do your thing. Well, that never happened. That kind of fell through. Because people, I guess, maybe people don't want to be seen. They don't want to put their names on anything or be affiliated with anyone as bold as me, because I pretty much speak my mind. I say whatever's on my mind, and I don't care. I really don't care at this point in time in my life. I'm 40 years old. I'm more than halfway through, and I just don't care. So I'm just going to come with what I see, and that's it. And some people may not want to be affiliated with that. To that, I would say this. Hang on, let me find it, Jason. This is what I would say to those people.
I think you need your balls reattached.
Yeah, I would have a very similar response. No, I'm with you. I can't. I'm not placating. I'm not playing games. I'm not going to, you know, inflate anybody's ego. I'm 41 years old. I just don't care anymore. I'm not out to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm not going to inflate anybody's damn ego either. I'm just past it.
How is it? I never understood that. How is it that all you guys are older than me? Did I forget a birthday?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I don't know. When's your birthday? September? Okay, so you'll be 41. I don't know, man.
I was just wondering that the other day. I was thinking, I see people posting that they're 41. And I'm thinking, man, I thought I was older than those guys.
No. Nope.
I don't know. Maybe
hey,
I missed somewhere.
Be happy with it.
I'm very happy with it. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, everything is a dog and pony show when it comes to politics. The people like me, people that are involved in politics, we know what's going on. We know exactly what's going on. We know who the players are. We know what side they're on. We know the ass kissers. We know the truth tellers. We know the people who are just trying to help their fellow citizens. And that's why I urge people to get involved, because once you get involved, you will have that knowledge. Now, there are a couple parts you would play. I recommend playing the part of the kiss ass. That way you get to go to all the big parties, you get to see who's there. You know, you get invited to functions, you might get invited to the debates. Hint, hint, hint. All the kiss asses got invited to the debate. I was excluded. That's how you learn. And you pay attention and learn. But like I tell young people going into the military, I preach to them the importance of the Constitution, the rule of law, the Declaration of Independence,
the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, what the founders warned about, I say, okay, keep all of that knowledge in the back of your mind. But when you go into the military, you answer every damn question like they want it answered. For instance, when it says, will you kill an American? Check yes. It's a psychological evaluation. If you just assume the answers that they want, give them what they want. But always keep that in the back of your mind because they're purging the military right now. We need
the ones that would stand up for all that's right for America.
Right. Anyone who would stand up against the establishment. That's right. That's who they're purging. They're replacing them with idiots and killers and gang members. Like, let's take, for instance, a Green Beret over in, I think it was Iraq, witnessed the rape of a young child and beat up the cop for doing it, the Iraqi cop. He was dismissed because he stood up for what was right. You can go look that story up. Things like this are happening way too often. We need good guys in there, good men and women who will follow the rule of law and the Constitution. And with that, Jason, I'm going to take another break.
All right.
We'll be back.
Now, John McCain and Lindsey Graham encourage you to get behind immigration reform.
Comprehensive immigration reform is almost within our grasp. But a few conservative Republican holdouts are making this process uncomfortable. They just don't understand the Republican Party is in a demographic death swirly. We need Hispanics to replace the coming wave of conservatives who will no longer support our party after we give corporate America the cheap labor we promised in exchange for campaign donations. Border security, biometric identification, fences, fines, penalties are all words that are somewhere in this bill. So it passes the smell test as far as we're concerned. So conservatives, quit calling and bugging your representatives to vote against this bill. It's a good bill, and as a co-author of McCain-Feingold, you have my word on that.
This message paid for by Democrats for Republicans, USA.
You've got a headache. Now I've got some strange disease. Don't worry about it. This pill will set your mind at ease. It's called Progenitorivox. It's made by Squab Merle Co. It's a life-enhancing miracle, but there are some things you should know.
It may cause agitation, palpitations, excessive salivation, constipation, male lactation, rust-colored urination, hallucinations, bad vibrations, mild electric shock sensations, but it's worth it for the drugs I need. My disease may not be fatal, but I can ease my fears by taking two $12 pills each day for 50 years. They've spent billions to convince me, so now I realize Progenitorivox beats diet and exercise. I've got insurance, at least for now I do. And if I bought generic, it would cut my cost in two. But I want Progenitorivox, 'cause I saw it on TV. Those families look so functional, that Paisley pill's for me. But it may cause deprivation, humiliation, debtors, prison, and deportation. Dark depictions, dire predictions, life that's seen in Dickens fiction. Empty pockets, court dockets, may cause eyes to pop from sockets. But it's worth it for the drugs I need.
Well, the first day we met, he came up to me and the first thing he said was, God hates fags.
I did. It was beautiful. For me, Westboro Mingle is this vehicle that God did use to put my wife and I together. And that, for me, is a very powerful, powerful thing.
Powerful. Like a bomb. Like a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, like a bomb that just blows everything up.
Kills everyone. When I met Jay on Westboro Mingle, I was so relieved. I finally found someone who hates everything I hate.
Blacks, gays, Jews, Mexicans, Jamaicans, anything west of America.
Music, dancing.
Vacations.
Dinosaurs.
Space travel.
Modern art.
Books.
Okay. Oh, and I remember this one time we were picketing a funeral. It was the kindergartners or was it the war?
It was the soldiers.
It was the soldiers. Mm-hmm. And my arms were tired. And he comes up to me and he takes the sign out of my hands and he goes right up to that enabler's children. And what did you say?
I said, your father's burning in the eternal fires of hell.
Hi, my name's Mindy and I met my husband Jay on WestboroMingle.com.
Join WestboroMingle.com, the first website made by God.
Hello, peasants. I mean citizens. We are here to protect you. Do not believe the conspiracy theorists who say you have rights. Do not believe the conspiracy theorists who say there is a constitution. You don't, and there isn't. In fact, you need not bother with responsibility at all. We will take care of you. We will protect you. If you happen to hear these crazy people babble about gun rights, the Constitution, corrupt politicians, or anything else that could possibly sentence us to a life in prison, please contact our offices immediately, and we will indefinitely detain them.
Your papers? I don't think I have them on me.
In that case, we'd have to ask you to come along.
Wait, it's possible that, yes, here they are.
These papers expired 3 weeks ago. You have to come along.
Halt!
You're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and we are under attack again. Jason, are you there?
Yeah, what's up?
We're under attack again.
Well, we must be doing something right then.
Well, yeah, I mean, at the beginning, they actually were, I don't know if it was Blog Talk having issues, but I don't know if it was an attack on them. Every time we come on, we get attacked. Pretty good lately, but, you know, we're starting to see it again. I hope they don't shut us down for another. Absolutely. I'll wear that as a badge of honor. Hopefully, we're not down again for another month like the last time. So, Jason, any news stories stick out to you?
Just the economy, man. I was following that pretty heavily since last week, and I'm going to continue to follow it because I don't think this is over. I could be wrong, but I'm just going to continue to kind of monitor that because for me, that's kind of real big. If there's any truth to the research that I've been doing, you know, I really hope people will make some preparations for themselves and their families.
Well, check this one out. Starbucks CEO sent this bizarre memo telling baristas to be nicer because of stock turmoil. If only the person who sued you during Monday's stock market chaos was an extra friendly Starbucks barista. Thank Howard Schultz. In a flowery memo to the chain's 190,000 employees, the coffee giant's billionaire chairman and chief executive told baristas to be especially sensitive to the customers asking them for a cup of joe. Today's financial market volatility, combined with great
political uncertainty, both at home and abroad, will undoubtedly have an effect on consumer confidence, and our customers are likely to experience an increased level of anxiety and concern, Schultz wrote in his message. Please recognize this, and as you always have, remember that our success is not an entitlement, but something we need to earn every day. So pretty much, our sensitive socialist customers who whimper at the sight of a dead dandelion are going to be extra sensitive today. Pretty much is what he's saying. What do you think about that?
Nothing, not much.
Whatever.
Hey, you know what, though? I did want to talk about... All right, well, let me find this. I want to try to bring it up, but if you can, you know, cover something while I'm looking.
All right, let's see what else we got here. There's not much more than that going on. And you got to wonder, with all this stock market volatility stuff going on, what's being covered up? Because every time something makes the news, something is being covered up. And I'm trying to find it. I don't think this is it, but I'll read it anyway. IRS. It's not going to let me go there, is it? IRS finds yet another Lois Lerner email account. Lois Lerner had yet another personal email account used to conduct some IRS business. The tax agency confirmed in a new court filing late Monday that further complicates the administration's efforts to be transparent about they're transparent, all right. Transparent as a steel door. They're so transparent, you can't even see what they're doing. The admission came in an open records lawsuit filed by Judicial Watch. Now, Judicial Watch is very good. I go there all the time to read their publications. A law firm that has sued to get a look at emails Ms. Lerner sent during the targeting. IRS lawyer Jeffrey J. Klimas told the court that as the agency was putting together a set of documents, isn't that great? Judicial Watch suing the IRS.
I love it. Love that.
I had a guy the other day say, why would you want to get rid of the IRS? Why are you for the fair tax? Why would you want to put a million people out of work? And I simply said to him, my God, what did people do before big government? How did they even survive? Now, sometimes government is good in, like, let's say we're talking about the Depression, where they put construction workers to work, people that were willing to work. You know, that was kind of a good deed, you know. But we didn't ask for it to continue with these big, giant agencies full of porn watchers and child molesters. We didn't ask for all that. Bring it up, Jason. Did you find it?
No, man, I'm sorry. I'm looking. I have to bring it up tomorrow. It was a high-profile someone you'd know who basically was telling people, look, you need to start taking some preparations given what's going on with the volatility with the world economy. And he listed a few things, and I kind of wanted to cover that, but I don't want to say anything until I find it.
You know,
I mean, it was someone high profile. And I don't want to say his name because I'm afraid I will screw it up. So I may have to try to locate it and maybe bring it up tomorrow if possible, unless I can find it.
You know, the biggest obstacle in the way for a constitutionalist is the Chamber of Commerce. Chamber of Commerce controls pretty much everything at every level. And you know the guys that are getting money from the Chamber of Commerce just by the votes they take. Anything that goes against the Constitution, you can bet they're getting money from the Chamber of Commerce. No luck, huh?
No, I'm sorry. Right,
let me find another story. We need a, what did I say we needed?
A production person?
We need a producer. CNN, Obama gives Joe Biden blessing for 2016 bid. I don't think, here's the thing. I know they're working together, the establishment. Joe Biden, member of the CFR, running against a Donald Trump. I don't see him winning. I don't even see him beating Bernie Sanders. Smoking Joe Biden. Crazy Joe Biden. Even the Democrats aren't going to vote for him. So, you know, if he starts climbing the polls, polls are rigged. But I talked a long time ago on the show about Elizabeth Warren running. And then Joe Biden meets with Elizabeth Warren, and all of a sudden everybody thinks that Joe Biden is running. Well, let me tell you how dangerous Elizabeth Warren is for Republicans. And Republicans didn't listen to me the last time locally. I told them, if this Democrat runs, he will win, and you will not be able to beat him. I'm talking about Representative John Rogers. I told them, the Democrat strategists, I told them that, or the Republican strategists, I told them about this guy. They didn't listen to me. Matter of fact, they forgot that I even told them. I said, if this guy gets in, nobody's going to beat him, and nobody has. And three people have tried. So I don't know why they don't listen to me, Jason. Could it be because of the way I'm talking, and I'm not empathetic?
Oh, it's certainly possible. They want you to blow smoke.
Right. What's that?
They want you to blow smoke.
Yeah. If somebody's right 95% of the time, wouldn't you tend to listen to that person?
I would think so, yeah. Called validity.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Chamber of Commerce is waving that money. That's all they care about. When you're voting for a politician, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind the only thing that they have on their mind is money. Money, 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 money makes the world go round. That's why I tell you to get involved. You don't know who you're voting for. A lot of people get starstruck and they say, oh, he shook my hand. Oh, my God, I'm never going to wash my hand. It's like star power. People vote for people simply because they're nice. Is that a reason to vote for somebody, Jason?
No. But that's the thing. I've seen people be, honestly, I've seen this play out in real time in my own profession. People who are completely taken by someone's physical appearance, by the way they're dressed, by their level of attractiveness, how well-spoken they are. But then it's revealed this person is a slimeball. And I've seen people be completely snowballed by that. And I know we've talked on this topic before. It's like, more attractive defendants. Am I saying that right?
No, that female that got away with having sex with an underage kid.
Yeah,
she was too attractive to go to jail.
Well, yeah, but there's truth to that because more defendants who are more physically appealing, male or female, tend to get lighter sentences, and that's been proven in sociological research. Socio-psychological research. So, that's what bothers me, is people are so easily persuaded by what they see in front of them that it's like that part of their brain that processes a deeper level of understanding of what they're dealing with is completely like shut down. And that's what bothers me about society, is people, you know, they're just taken by what they see automatically. They let that dictate their judgment. And then sometimes that becomes, it ends really, really bad.
Yeah, not only that, taller people get leadership positions.
Yes,
that is
absolutely
also true.
So, you know, you have to understand a human condition. And I think, Rob, that's why, you know, I may come off as like a pessimist, but I'm coming at this very much from both a spiritual but also a psychological mindset. I do kind of understand how people operate, and I tend to be the one to sit back and just watch things unfold, make observations, take notes for future reference, and you know what? It's never let me down.
Right. Were you able to find that article?
No, man, I'm sorry. I'm looking. I can't find it. I will try and dig it up so maybe we can touch on it tomorrow. I'm really anticipating what is going to happen tomorrow in the world economy. So I'll try to dig it up for tomorrow.
Save it for tomorrow. Watch the you can start watching the world markets. When did I first see that? Probably around 1 a.m., maybe. We'll keep an eye on it. We're going to have lots for you tomorrow because I'm actually able to edit some clips, put them together. We're going to cover all of the news tomorrow. Jason, I think we're going to end this here tonight. This is a good place to end.
All right, man.
And,
have a good night.
We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a good night. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, God bless you all. God bless America.